John 16. John, God is good. He's faithful when we're faithless. But you know, he's got a way of kicking our butt to put us in position, if we'll let him. And one of the things that we as believers need to work more in the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit in our life. You know, we can go to services and we can hear and we can see things you know, we can hear the Word of God and we can hear and we can see the gifts of the Spirit manifesting and so forth. But we need to have these things happening in our own life. And we need to have the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in our own life. Amen? It is important. especially for your own walk. You need to have the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that without revelation, my people go astray. And we need to have revelation. We need to have revelation knowledge. We need to have some supernatural event occur in our life every so often, right? And one of the wonderful things is revelation knowledge or understanding is something that would come from the Spirit. One of the things the Spirit always wants to do is bring me and you counsel, correction, and direction. Sometimes we don't like to receive it, but we find out that when we do receive it, wow, thank you for rescuing me, Lord. One of the things that the Spirit does is he removes, if you will let him, the things that we are relying on in the natural realm. The gifts of the Spirit are not senses of the natural. Does everybody understand that? The gifts of the Spirit are the senses of the Spirit. And what they do is they bring reality of the other side for me and you, and they keep us from stumbling and getting caught up on this side. Because the Spirit will reveal something through you, through the gifts, for yourself, not only for someone else, but for yourself. And that's what I'm talking about right now, is for yourself. You may be in a circumstance that you've been relying on what you see or what you feel. And by getting in the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit manifesting in you, he is going to bring you information that's going to remove you from relying on yourself. You have people come to you and say, man, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand why you just don't do this. Or why you don't do that. When it's plainly before you. But sometimes the Spirit is telling you something different. Does everybody get it? Now you got to remember something. Darkness always wants to suck you up in the soul. Where we begin to go in the emotion realm of woe is me. Where we begin to have that fight in the mind. Because he's always wanting us to turn our will over to him. But we must continue to keep our will turned over to the Spirit. And if we'll do that and we'll walk in the Spirit and we'll allow the Spirit to manifest his gifts because they're his gifts, not ours. The only thing he's asking me and you to do is to yield to them. Does everybody get it? Yield to them. So remember, they're not our gifts. They're the Spirit's gifts. Amen? The Holy Spirit. And in John 16, if you'll turn there with me. Hallelujah. And in verse 13, let's read this together, okay? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now, he's known as the what? Spirit of truth. So we know that the gifts, if it's by the Spirit, if the gift that's manifesting is by the Spirit, it's going to come true. If it's not by the Spirit, it's not going to come true. Does everybody get it? So if you're being told to do this and do that and do whatever, and it's not coming true, then it ain't the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Because he's known as the Spirit of truth. And that's why many people will come up and say, man, the Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that. Well, if he told you to do something and it's of God, it will come to pass every time. Does everybody get it? Every time it will come to pass. And you got to understand something. When the Spirit tells us something, it's to bring, He's going to allow it to come to pass to bring glory to Jesus. Hello? Okay. It says that He what? He will guide you into what? All truth. Come on, read this with me. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Wow, that sounds like the whole gifts, doesn't it? Does everybody get it? Verse 14. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So you got to understand something, that everything that the Holy Spirit does is to reveal Jesus and the Father to man. And He does that by manifesting Himself through the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? He does this by manifesting Himself through the gifts of the Spirit. And He will guide to all truth. He won't speak on His own authority, but He will speak to bring glory to Jesus. Now, verse 15. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Now, He's saying, listen, Jesus just said, all things that the Father has are Mine. Now, all the things that I have given to the Holy Spirit to declare it to you. So everything that the Father has is ours. Everything. But we get caught up because of the deception of darkness. They would like to lead us astray. And then people go astray because they don't get in the Spirit enough. They get sucked in the soulish realm and they go by what they feel, what they see, and what they think. So many people will be like, every impression they get, oh, it's God. It's not. Not every impression you get is God, and not every unction you get is God. Because if it's God, it comes to pass.
Hallelujah.
If it's not God, it will not come to pass, and it will not edify Christ Jesus. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
And this is where we need to know. And we will have that witness in our spirit, but if we don't have the discernment of the witness in our spirit, we'll be led astray. Let me share something with you. These things are not given overnight. We must learn them. Three things that must happen. Deny, pick up, and follow. If you can't deny yourself, there's no way you'll have the discernment of the gifts of the Spirit. Because you will always be led by what you feel, what you think, and what you believe that God is telling you. But it won't come to pass. Well, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. God told me to tell you this. Does everybody get it? And if you have to struggle and fight to get it, hello.
Hello.
Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a struggle sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says, wait on the Lord. So He says what? Be still and know that I am God. And when you don't know what to do, what do? Nothing. You wait on God. Let me tell you, most of the time when we really hear God, that's when you're first getting up in the morning. Almost in that period of time. You know why? Because you're still dead from sleep. Does everybody get it? You don't have all the garbage. No, it's usually about 3 minutes or 2 minutes or 10 seconds before you wake up. Because you've been dead all night. Yeah, your mind's been going everywhere because your mind don't sleep. Spirit don't sleep, does it? But usually that's when you hear from God, is when you get up. That's when we start searching. Oh, God. And let me tell you something. People are searching for God so hard that they're willing to accept any impression or direction they get. Or unction they get. They want God so much. That's not rest. Jesus said, rest in Me. We're to be led by peace, not I gotta do. Amen? We're to be led by peace. So many times we miss because we're not led by peace. So we know that the Spirit will lead us and guide us in everything. Everything that the Father has been given to Jesus, and Jesus is declaring it to me and you through His Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Acts 10. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. You know, sometimes the Lord will tell you, you know, I want you to plant a seed. I want you to do something because I'm trying to get something to you. And it's like, well, I don't know if, you know, Lord, this just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. I don't understand this, you know, but I'll be obedient. And the next thing, you know, bam. And I've shared this story over and over about when He shared with me to write a $1,000 check to a ministry. I didn't want to. I rebuked that voice a couple times. Can't be. But then I knew in my spirit, because there was such a peace, and He was like, I want to bring you something. I thought, it must be you. And then when He told me who else to send it to, and I didn't have the address, Then he told me where to go because the man was going to be there. And the man showed up late. I gave the man a $1,000 check for his ministry. It was on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came over and gave me a $4,800 check because the Lord was trying to get something to me. Faith is what activates everything. Faith. And faith comes by what?
Hearing,
not assuming. Because if it's the Lord, it's going to come to pass. You don't know how or what or where. Sometimes you don't know when. But it's going to come. Hallelujah. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Is he Lord of all to you? The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. He didn't go about assuming. He didn't go about grumbling. He went about doing good. Why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? He had fellowship with the Spirit. He was walking in the Spirit. He didn't have anything to worry about. You couldn't offend Jesus. Does everybody get it? You couldn't offend him because he was dead to self. Now, what else did he do? Who went about doing good and what? Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So what was preached? Jesus was preached. The preaching was, now if you really look at this, he's saying they went about preaching the anointing that was on Jesus. Does everybody get it? I mean, if you look at this, what were they preaching? The anointing that was on Jesus. Let me show you this again. Preaching peace through Christ Jesus, in verse 36, he is Lord of all, right? That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism, was John preached how God anointed Jesus. That's what they were preaching. They were preaching about the anointing of Jesus. Okay? And he went about anointed with the Holy Spirit, doing good. In fellowship with the Spirit, you will do good. He went around healing and delivering those who were oppressed by the devils. Well, before we can do that for others, we need to do it for ourselves.
Amen.
You can't go around getting rid of devils if you're still carrying the half a dozen yourself. You ain't going to go around and bring joy if you're miserable. You know? So understand that the anointing of Jesus, that which was preached, was the anointing. And everything that Jesus had was from the Father. He was the fullness of God that come to this earth. Everything. Amen? Go to Isaiah 11. Praise be to God. Isaiah 11. Oh, to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Spiritual gifts. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Read verse 2 with me. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You know what they were? They were parts of the gifts of the Spirit. The only gifts that aren't mentioned here is tongues and interpretation of tongues. Or prophecy. Didn't have to be, because when the Spirit of the Lord come upon you, you prophesy. So the only thing that wasn't manifest in the Old Testament was tongues and interpretation of tongues. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
And there are seven right here that we see. Seven means complete and perfect, doesn't it? Now, we see that there is a Spirit of the Lord, right? And I want to share about some. Now, in the Old Testament, not everybody moved in all the gifts. Does everybody get it? Not everybody was a prophet. Not everybody is the same for now. And I just want to mention some specific ones that you could really tell the manifestation of the Spirit that was upon them. Amen. Like King David, the manifestation of the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was a worshiper, wasn't he? Look at the Psalms that he wrote and so forth. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom was on King Solomon. Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord was on King David. The Spirit of the Lord was on King Solomon. The Spirit of understanding was on Daniel. The Spirit of counsel was on Samuel. The Spirit of strength was on Samson, or might. The Spirit of knowledge was on Isaiah. Not only did Isaiah know knowledge of the past, but he knew knowledge of the present and of the future. Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, there was a lot of them that, you know, we can mention. These are just some of them I've mentioned, okay? In fact, the spirit of reverence or fear of God was on Moses. That man was the most humble man, I think, in the whole Bible, besides Jesus. He reverenced the Lord. He also had knowledge, too, didn't he? He wrote the 5 books, didn't he? Hallelujah. First 5 books of the Bible. So in the Old Testament, these gifts were manifesting. We know that the spirit of prophecy was manifesting and so forth. But I just wanted to share some of this just to bring understanding that Jesus came in the fullness of the Spirit and fullness of all the gifts. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. You know, even when the prophets prophesied in the Old Testament, we have 3 major prophets. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Not that the other ones did not have an effect. They did. But the prophet Isaiah was a representation of the prophecy of the Son. The prophet Jeremiah was a representation of the prophecy of the Father. And the prophet of Ezekiel was a representation of the prophecies of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Praise be to God. In verse 4. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Activating in the gifts of the Spirit will keep you blameless. Because the Spirit will always give you counsel, correction, and direction. He will always tell you what's to come. Hallelujah. So the Lord desires that we fall short of no gift. You know, you can sit there and pray in the Spirit all day long. Don't get me wrong. But there's a time when you got to listen. Amen? Yeah. You got to sit still and listen. Because while you're praying, you're interceding, aren't you? But there's a time when you got to sit still and listen to God. That's why so many people have problems. They're always on the run. Nobody sits still long enough to listen or get counsel from the Lord. Amen? You know, what are you going to do when you're out there and you have a problem? Ain't nobody you can talk to. You got to pray in the Spirit and listen. Pray in the Spirit and listen. Believe me, I've run into many circumstances when I was out there. And when I'm out there now. And it's like, man, Lord, I just don't know what to do with this. And I'll say, pray in the Spirit and listen. okay? And I'll know that He'll order my steps if I'm listening. Hallelujah. In Romans 8. So He desires that we fall short of no gift. Does everybody understand that? So He wants us to walk in every single gift. Does everybody get that? If He said fall short of no gift, then when He wants us to walk in every gift. Romans 8. In verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now listen, for the glory that shall be revealed in us. So there's already glory in us, isn't there? Woohoo! Hallelujah! I know you don't. You look in the mirror and you go, "Where's that glory?" Man, where's that glory, Lord? Praise God. Don't look in the mirror and look for the glory. Because then you're relying on what you see. Just thank the Lord for the glory that's in you. For the verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, you and I are the sons of God. Even creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, right? And we've talked a little bit about this before. Because even nature has a fallen nature. It's desiring to be restored according to the will of God in its original creation. Even the earth is groaning, right? We talked about earthquakes and volcanoes and all kinds of stuff's going on in the earth. Man, the earth is groaning. It wants to be rebirthed. And it's waiting for the sons of God so it can be handed over to the sons of God. Come on, we'll read a little further. Look at verse 20. Let's read it. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Now look it. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Wow. So all of God's creations is desiring to be rebirthed. You know, the flowers, some of these roses are just dying to lose those thorns. You know, like, man, you know. I think I said the other night, you can go to the little flower and say, soon, little flower, your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. They'll really like you up then, huh? Glory to God. And that dude's out there. He's a pastor of a church, too. He's out there talking to that flower. Hallelujah. In verse 22. In verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now listen. We are not only groaning for our new body, for the transition, but we are the first fruits of the Spirit. Now think about this for a second. We're the first fruits of the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, right? But we are the first fruits of the Spirit. The spiritual children of God. That's still continuing on. The glory in us is a representation of the sons of God that's in us. We're like cocoons. Getting ready to fly out of here. Hallelujah. We're the first fruits of the Spirit, making intercession according to the will of God. Whoa, watch this. Hallelujah. And verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is what? Hallelujah. Still relying on what you see? For why does one still hope for what he sees? Oh. And where do wars begin? Because of desires in your members. You know why? Because relying on what we see. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we see, what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We're pressing in. We're continuing to go. We're continuing to fight, crucifying that flesh. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we've already talked about that. Intercession brings position, groanings bring birth. And verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. So we are the first fruits of God. Does everybody get that? We are the sons of God. Even though you may not look it on the outward, you are in the inward. Hallelujah. Intercession brings position. Birth. Groanings bring birth. So, we are the first fruits of the Spirit, making intercession according to the will of Christ. Does everybody get that? Do you understand that everything is related to the Spirit? Go to Colossians 1. Hallelujah. Colossians 1. You know, we need to practice the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says, test the Spirit. Well, when you're in your prayer closet or when you're home and you begin to pray in the Spirit and He gives you revelation of something, test it. If you blow it, don't worry about it. Try it again until you get it right. Because what it's about is learning His voice. Amen? Learning His voice. We must learn His voice. And His voice comes in many ways. We know that it comes in a still, small voice. He can speak to you through a word, through dreams, through visions, through unctions, and through impressions. But you got to know what's His or not. You'll always have peace. Amen. Always. You'll never be pushed. If you're pushed, people, oh man, I really feel like I need to do this. Well, then it ain't God. There's a difference. We must learn the unction of the Spirit. Does everybody get it? And let me share something with you. There'll be times when you'll get an unction and it'll continue. An unction is like somebody doing this, like pushing you. Just a little snug, a little push. That's an unction. If there's a constant unction, that ain't the Lord. Does everybody get it? If you're constantly being pushed on something, it's not God. Because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. And it brings anxiety, doesn't it? It brings stress, strife, if you're being pushed on something. Because the Spirit leads, and the devil pushes. Amen? Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? First Colossians 1, verse 9. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Come on, now say this one more time. That you may be what? Filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Does everybody get that? Amen. That's what's so important about the gifts, isn't it? One more verse, or a couple more. Strengthen with what? All might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Oh, man, it is powerful. That's He almost spoke about every gift right there, didn't He? Why? So that you and I can walk worthy. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit are tools. They are tools. They are spiritual tools for me and you to utilize. You don't go out and change a flat tire. Hello? What a frying pan. You'd look pretty foolish out there. What you'd have to pray for is a creative miracle. That's what you'd need to pray for. Not that you wouldn't be operating in the gift, you know, but... Hello? So these tools are spiritual tools. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you need spiritual tools. You'll be led from what everybody says. Oh, man. You'll read all of these books, and you won't be able to take the meat out and throw the bones away. You'll believe everything you read and everything people say if you are not able to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll be tossed from... You'll go around like a pinball in a pinball machine. You won't be able to be still. You won't have that rest. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So we're to walk worthy because the gifts are what? They are spiritual tools. The gifts of the Spirit are spiritual tools. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 12. You know, I'm not going to get real in depth in these. I'm just going to share some of these because I really believe that the Spirit is wanting us to practice these. We need to practice the gifts of the Spirit. And you can practice them right in your own living room. Hallelujah. And you can come and give testimony of them and begin to practice them right here on Tuesday Night Live. Glory to God. And if you want to practice one of them on Friday night, you better make sure it's God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? Come on, let's read it together. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Wow. You know what ignorant means?
Stupid.
Good enough. Not knowing. Amen? In other words, if we're ignorant of something, we don't know about it. Or if we're ignorant of something, we don't know how to handle it. You're not going to put a 10-year-old kid in a car and say, drive to Hawaii. You know what I mean? He probably tried driving the water. Praise God. I'm not going to have my daughter preach because she's only 18 months. Maybe next year. Glory to God. So we don't want to be ignorant of these gifts. Because they are spiritual tools. In other words, we don't want to just put them aside. We want to know that they're there. You know, when you get a flat tire, you know exactly what to do. You go and you open your trunk and you pull up, pop the trunk open. There's a spare tire there. There's tools that are locked in a little case. You know all of these things are. And you know how they operate. Well, we need to know the same thing in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. In verse 2, you know that you were what? Gentiles carried away to what? These dumb idols, however you were led. Wow, you know why? Being tossed to and fro, weren't they? Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Do you notice how he identifies the Trinity? Watch. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now let me share something with you before we even go. The gifts are through the Spirit. The ministries are through the Lord, and the activities are through the Father. And we'll get a little bit more in. Okay. The gifts are by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit delivers the gifts, doesn't He? The ministries... We'll get there. The ministries are by the Lord, and the activities are by the Father. Okay? And we'll go a little bit more in depth with this. Not too much, but we'll go a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Let's stay right here. Let's go to verse 6. And there are the diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? The profit of all. So understand something. He just said that these gifts are a representation of the manifestation of the Spirit. Does everybody get it? The gifts are a representation of the manifestation of the Spirit. Because God is trying to express Himself. And He expresses Himself through the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Okay. Now I'll go to 1 John chapter 5. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory. First John, or John 1, 1 John chapter 4, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6. Let's read this together. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. Woo. He emphasized that, didn't he? And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Wow. So we see Jesus came by water and blood and Spirit. In verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are one. Now, wait a minute. If they're bearing witness in heaven, now the gifts are going to bear witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? The activities of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the ministries of the Spirit are going to bear witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So we know that Jesus came bearing witness of the fullness of the Spirit with gifts, ministry, and activities. Does everybody get that? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Amen? And we know that Jesus came in the fullness, in the image of God Himself. So He had to come with the fullness of all of the gifts, of the ministries, and the activities. And I'm going to explain some of these. Let's start with the activities, okay? Let's start with the activities. The activities are a representation of activities or operations. Activities or operations. Remember, we shared with that this was a representation of the Father. Go to Acts 6. Hallelujah. I like to call the activities and the operations of the Spirit as through the Father as supernatural fruits of the ministry function. They are supernatural fruits of the ministry's function. Glory to God. These are the activities and the operations. Glory to God. Supernatural fruits of the ministry's function. Hey, it's supernatural, believe me. Hallelujah. And in chapter 6, in verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What was he talking about? He's talking about doing other activities of feeding, clothing, sheltering, and helping. Amen? There are other activities involved. There are a representation of their ministry, but there are other operations in their ministry. It wasn't just about handling the word and ministering. Does everybody get that? It was about other operations, and these are activities and operations. It said, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you, verse 3, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now listen, he was looking for those who were walking in the Spirit and the gifts to handle this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the what? Word. So we see that the operations or activities of a ministry is more than just prayer, ministering, and the word. Okay? And saying, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Philip, Barshuas, Nechner, Timon, Paramius, Nicholas, a proselyte, and Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and a number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So he was still operating in the gifts, even though he was out there doing the laboring and work, wasn't he? And what did it do? Because they were able to feed people and help other people, and they were praying for people, and people were still getting healed out there and everything else. It increased the multitude, wasn't it? So that's why I'm sharing with you that, to me, the activities and operations are supernatural fruits of the ministry's function. It's not the end result. It's the extension. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So in these activities or operations, you got helps. You got serving, feeding, clothing. Fundraising is an activity, isn't it? An operation. Administrative. Visiting the sick in the hospital. That's an extension, isn't it? And many other things that we can go on. So these are operations or activities. The other part that I'm going to talk about, and we're going in reverse, okay? Because I'm going to lead back to the Spirit. Ministries or offices as of the Son. And we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, the ministries of the Lord, and the activities of the Father, right? And we just did the activities as the Father, and we're doing the ministries as the Son. But they are representation of offices of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4. know, so many people have a lot of questions about all this all the time. So now you'll be able to tell them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, okay? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Now you got to understand something. These gifts are a representation of grace. They are gifts of grace, aren't they? And you got to remember that they're not our gifts. They're the Spirit's gifts. They're His. But He's willing to work through any of us if we're yielding. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, and that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look, come on, read verse 12 with me. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, why? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. So we see that there are apostles. These are offices, aren't they? I'm just going to give a brief description. An apostle is an overseer. And he can operate in every one of these gifts, or offices, I should say, also. He's an overseer. He's one usually that starts churches or fellowships. Okay? And a prophet. Now, just because somebody, the spirit of prophecy may come upon someone and they prophesy, doesn't make them a prophet. There is a prophet. There's an office of prophet. And the office of prophet declares the word of the Lord. And it's always bringing direction to the body at whole and individual fellowships. Okay? Declares the word of the Lord for the direction of the body at whole and individual fellowships. Evangelists are those that are sent out to gather the lost. Now, it doesn't mean that these offices that they can't move in all these gifts, because they can. Pastors are shepherds of a flock or a fellowship. And teachers are declaring revelation truths relating to the Word of God. Teachers are declaring revelation truths relating to the Word of God. Now, like I said, every one of these offices can move on all the gifts that they want. Of course, it's all led by the Spirit. Now, we also have to understand that anybody can move in any of these gifts at any time. Amen? Hallelujah. God is no respecter of person. And the gifts are what? Tools. They are spiritual tools. And that's what we're talking about next. Gifts or tools of ministry by the Spirit. So we just talked about the activities or operations of the Father, the ministries or offices of the Son, and the gifts or tools of ministry by the Spirit. Now, these gifts or tools by the Spirit, what is the purpose? Three major things that the gifts represent. To edify, to comfort, and to direct. To edify, to comfort, and to direct. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12. You got that right, brother. We ain't religious. That's not a soda can either. It is carbonated water I just popped. If the devil can't kill you by sin, he'll kill you by food. So you got to be careful what you eat. That must be under the discerning of spirits, right? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 8, praise be to God, we're going to make this through the night quickly and promptly. And now I'm going to give you a copy, and we're going to make some copies of this sheet. But you still got to take notes tonight. Hallelujah. As soon as we get some ink for our printer, we had to do it in red. Praise God. Verse 8. Let's read it together. For one is given the word of the Spirit, a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Why? Because they're His gifts. Now, I want you to understand something that, first of all, Paul was stating in this letter that he said to one this, to one that. Didn't mean just that one individual is going to walk in one gift. It's available to all, but what he was doing was categorizing them and labeling them so that people would understand. You know, personally, when it really gets down to it, I don't give a hoot. You know? I mean, you have to be plumb ridiculous to walk and try and determine sometimes what you just did. Because you can't sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's times when it's like, man, I don't know whether I went in, if I moved in the spirit of the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom or, you know what I'm saying? Who cares sometimes? The whole thing is if you're edifying, comfort, and bringing direction through the Spirit, you know? But Paul did label these things, and because he did, we want to translate this labeling, okay? Praise God. There are three, are you ready? So we just spoke about 9 gifts, right? There are 3 categories to these gifts. 3 gifts per category. The first gifts are called gifts of utterance. This is a category. They're called gifts of utterance. And there's 3 of them that are involved in the gifts of utterance. There's prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Gifts of utterance. Prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretations of tongues. The next set is called gifts of power, which is faith, working of miracles, and healings. The gifts of power is faith, working of miracles, and healings. And then there's gifts of revelation. Gifts of revelation. And as word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Praise God. Okay, let me repeat these for you. Gifts of utterance, under that category, is prophecy, diverse tongues, interpretations of tongues. Under the category of gifts of power, there's faith, working of miracles, healings. Under the category of gifts of revelation, there's words of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. Now, like I shared with you before, the purpose of these gifts is to edify, comfort, and direct. Why? Because the Spirit is always telling us things that come. If we will listen to the Spirit and these operation of the gifts, we won't make fools of ourselves. Hello? Bring shame to the name of the Lord. And He'll keep us blameless. Prevent us from going into traps. And it'll also assist others in ministry. Amen? Yeah. Does everybody get it?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, now, Romans 12. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 12, in verse 2. Let's read this together, please. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what? You start using the tools that God's given you, and these things will become manifest. You will be able to prove the perfect will of God in your life. In verse 3. Everybody there? Hallelujah. For I say, to the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Wow. Now it takes faith to operate in anything, doesn't it? So you have enough faith to operate in things. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given let us use them. Hello? Let us what?
Use them.
Say it again. Let us use them. Whoa. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our what?
Faith.
Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So we see here that these gifts are available for us. We've already have the measure of gifts, a measure of faith given to us. Amen? So we are to use them in faith.
Amen.
Nobody's going to come up to you and take your tongue and start waggling it for you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Nobody's going to force you to prophesy. Nobody's going to force you. You must be led by the Spirit. Amen? Now, I'm going to get on your butt to pray in the Spirit because I know it's edifying to you. And I won't have to do so much counsel. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And the first gift we want to talk about, we're going to have to fly through these, is tongues. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:4, tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I'm not going to go, like I said, into depth teachings about these. We're just going to skim through them so you get a little understanding. In Acts 2:4, let's read this together, please. Is everybody there? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wahoo. So they were all in the upper room. They got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. There was no one there interpreting. They still prayed in tongues.
Amen.
And blew that theology away.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. 1 Corinthians 14. From verse 2 to verse 5. It talks about when you and I speak in tongues, we speak to God and reveal mysteries. Amen? It also tells us that it brings self-edification. Now, we have a specific teaching. We got a whole teaching on tongues, and I'm not going in it. In verse 22, it states that it is a sign to an unbeliever. And in Jude 20, it says that it builds up our most holy faith. Okay, now while you're praying in the Spirit, you are interceding. You are praying God's perfect will, not only for yourself, but whoever else God has you praying for. Remember, I share with you that praying in tongues, which causes intercession, is positioning. It brings position. Groaning or birth pangs is a representation of birthing. And groans can't be uttered. It's a burden. Amen? It's a burden you get. And it can only be brought by the Spirit. Okay? But it doesn't mean that while you're praying in tongues, you're not interceding. You're interceding as soon as you open your mouth. You know what? As soon as you say, "Oh, God, help me," you've interceded. Okay? It's all by faith, isn't it? Now, when it talked about diverse tongues, what happened to them in the upper room that when they all began to pray in tongues, after a period of time, their tongues changed. And others outside heard their own languages. Amen? So you got 120 people up in the upper room, and they're all praying, ripping off in the Holy Ghost, and they started praying in the Spirit, and the next thing you know, their language changed, and it went into another language, whatever it was, so that others could hear it and hear the mysteries of God and glorify God. That's diverse tongues. You never know when that's going to happen. You could be in Russia and begin to pray in the Spirit. Next thing you know, you're talking in Russian and don't even know it. Okay? You all of a sudden you'd be praying in the Spirit. Next thing you know, your tongue's changed. And somebody in the church or something like that hears you and say, man, you know what? I know you're speaking to me because I'm from China and that language that you were speaking spoke to me. Even called out my name. So you can't limit God. Amen? Hallelujah. The second thing I want to talk about is interpretation of tongues. Now, interpretation of tongues is exactly what it says. Interpretation of the tongues. Amen? And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 26 through 28. It is the revealing of tongue, of a tongue spoken in a church. Now, there are some people that exercise that gift. They just interpret tongues. But it's a given to anyone. In fact, you can interpret your own tongues as you're praying. You just have to ask for it. As you're praying in tongues, you ask the Lord, what's the interpretation? If he chooses to give it to you, he will. If he doesn't, then don't force it. Now, praying in tongues will also cause you to walk in the interpretation. Does everybody get it? Now, what does interpretation of tongues do? It brings a word of the Lord of edification, comfort, or direction to the body of Christ, to the fellowship. And it also can be used for yourself. Does everybody get that? Amen. So that you can get comfort, direction, and edification. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to talk about is prophecy. It's also in 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm going to give you some verses. Wow. Verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 through 5. Verse 24 through 25, verses 29 through 33. If somebody was coming to church and somebody prophesied upon them or even not in the church, prophecy, one of the things that prophecy does is it reveals the heart to an individual. It reveals their own heart. Does everybody get it? Prophecy, in other words, if the word of the Lord came out, if the Holy Spirit comes upon you to prophesy unto someone, what it does is it reveals the heart to an unbeliever. Does everybody get that? It reveals the heart to an unbeliever. So what? So they can come to repentance. Hallelujah. But prophecy in the church brings edification to the church or to the fellowship. Prophecy brings the divine will of God to an individual, to a fellowship. And every one of us has the freedom to speak those things in at any time. Now, prophecies can also come in dreams or visions, can't they? The Lord can speak to you. It's usually declaring something about to come. I mean, all the prophets in the Old Testaments prophesied of things that were to come, weren't they? Just because you move in the gift of prophecy doesn't mean you're a prophet. That is an office. But you and I will have gifts. Amen? I want to share something with you. The other night, when I went to bed, I was totally exhausted. And I went to bed about 8:45. And when I laid down, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the dream I had about 2 years ago. And I'm going to make it real brief. I was on a horse, and the horse was riding on water. And I was riding on this horse. And I was coming up between two ships that were on the water. And the one ship on the left had a hole in the side. And as I was riding, the horse that I was on came and bumped that hole and bent up the metal to keep the ship from sinking. And the other one was a destroyer and one was something else. I don't know what it was. And as I began to ride, the Lord said to me, "Will you die for me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And the next thing, I took off. And I was riding on water. And I began to see black rain. But it was black spots everywhere. And I knew I was going to the east. I knew I was going to the Gulf, Iran, Iraq. And he said to me, "Will you die for me?" And I realized that it was rain. It was like something that was shooting out from everywhere. And I began to suffocate. And I woke up because I knew you couldn't breathe oil. And there was so much of it coming down everywhere. And I woke up. And I never knew, I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe he was telling me I better slow down or I'm going to die. Until the other night, when I realized, you remember the ship that had the hole in the side?
Yeah.
Amen. What was it? It was what, last year?
Yeah.
Or not even last year, it was this year.
Yeah. Beginning of this year.
It was the beginning of this year when
yeah, blew up.
When they sent
the boat.
On that boat, remote control, and it hit the side of the ship. And what, 13 or 14 crewmen were killed? And
the terrorists
did that. Yeah. And then they fixed it. And now all of this trouble that's going on. And now all of a sudden chemical warfare is happening. You know, the Lord was showing me a prophecy. He was showing me something that's coming. And it's happening. And I'm telling you, when it hit me, I was like, whoa. It blew my mind because of this dream that was given to me almost 2 years ago. And I thought the Lord was bringing me correction, but he was preparing me. And he's preparing the body of Christ, and I'm sharing it here in the fellowship tonight. And there's no coincidence that he gave me it and reminded me of it. That we must be prepared and ready for whatever it takes. We must begin to listen to the Spirit and begin to walk and move in the gifts of the Spirit so that we can walk in direction. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just briefly go over these here. We have the other thing is the miracles. Well, everybody knows what a miracle is, right?
Yeah.
Let me share with you. And it's in Acts 19:11-12. Miracles are the expression of the Lord's salvation and glory. Miracles are the expression of the Lord's salvation and glory. Remember Jesus turned water into wine? That was a miracle. The Bible tells us that we'll raise people from the dead and so forth. Hey, salvation is a miracle, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. It's the greatest miracle. And the next thing is healings. And Matthew 10:6-8, Psalm 103, Mark 16:17-18. Healings are not only for physical, but they are spiritual. They're healings. Not only the physical body, but of the heart and the mind. Amen. The sixth one is faith. And in Hebrews 11:1 it says, faith is a substance. Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance. In Romans 10:17 it says, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Matthew 8:5-10, he talked about a centurion that had great faith. Smith Wigglesworth walked in the gift of faith, man. Woo! Do you ever notice that you have faith for certain things and certain things you just, like, man. But also, sometimes it just comes upon you like you just know that you know, and when you speak it, it's going to happen. Give the faith. In number seven. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is revelation. Learn from the Spirit, which brings understanding. It's revelation. Learn from the Spirit, which brings understanding. It brings warning at a present time. Revelation knowledge you can get by through the Word, can't you? Something of knowledge. Bring revelation truth. Word of knowledge is a revelation learned from the Spirit, which brings understanding, brings warning at a present time. In other words, you can get a revelation knowledge for somebody at that moment. You can warn them of something that's coming. Word of wisdom is revelation of what to do. Solomon, when the babies, remember they were arguing over whose baby it was. The Lord gave him revelation, wisdom, word of wisdom. He said, okay, cut the baby in half. Blew both their socks off. Whoa, wait a minute. That ain't, what are you, crazy? Cut the baby in half. See, the common sense didn't work, did it? It wasn't a natural common sense. It was wisdom. In other words, what to do with what God has given you. And we need to have word of wisdom. And the discerning of spirits is what spirit is motivating your human spirit. What spirit is motivating your human spirit? Now, I know there are a lot of books out on all kinds of things of what's what. And I'm praise be to God. But you know what? It's supposed to be the simplicity of Christ. We can't start dictating what the Spirit is trying to bring across. We have to allow the Spirit to dictate what He wants to bring across. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. There are no formulas. Hello? We're just to be led by the Spirit and do it. So I want to encourage everyone to start practicing the gifts of the Spirit, because they are tools for you. They're tools. And the first gift that God gives us is tongues, besides salvation and the Holy Spirit, okay? Tongues, because He can trust us with that. We can't blow it too much. But you got to use it first. You got to use it. And let the Spirit bring word of knowledge or word of understanding or word of wisdom. And continue to increase your knowledge, because you'll have revelation of the things of the Spirit. We want the mind of the Spirit to be manifest in us. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We give You glory and honor. Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit be manifest in us to bring us counsel, correction, and direction, and that we may help others bring Jesus into others' lives and bring glory to Jesus. In Jesus' name.